Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 88 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
Police are investigating a rash of vehicle break-ins in Sharkey.
A Georgetown woman was killed in a crash this morning on Interstate 64.
Greenup has a new police chief.
Kentucky's 6th congressional race is heating up.
The Rowan County School District won a prestigious award for safety.
In sports, Louisville men's basketball coach Rick Pitino and athletic director Tom Jurich have been fired in the wake of another recruiting scandal.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy with a low around 57. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A rash of vehicle break-ins in western Rowan County remains under investigation. Chief Deputy Joe Klein says about 20 vehicles in the area of Eagle Trace, Dogwood Estates, and Ellington Loop were broken into in recent days with multiple items being taken.
People that break in these vehicles, they're opportunistic. They look for the open vehicles, number one, where they can just walk by, open the door, see what's in there. A lot of times vehicles are passed up just because they've got the doors locked and items are out of sight. And that's what we really recommend to everybody. Don't leave valuables in your vehicle. For some reason, you have to put them in the trunk or conceal them at least.
Klein admits he's uncertain if the incidents are connected in any way to a recent series of vehicle break-ins in the neighborhood surrounding Knapp Avenue in downtown Moorhead. The Moorhead News reports authorities do have a person of interest in the case who was seen driving a dark-colored pickup truck. Klein says, should you see anything that looks suspicious in your neighborhood, call police.
Police are investigating a fatal crash on I-64 in Clark County. According to WKYT, Interstate 64 eastbound was shut down near mile marker 99 near the exit to the Mountain Parkway, but has since reopened. Authorities say a man and woman were in the car when it slammed into an oil tanker. The Clark County coroner has identified the victim as Shasta Mullins, 33, from Georgetown. Officials say Mullins was the passenger in the car at the time of the crash. She was ejected from the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene. The driver of the car, an unnamed 39-year-old man, is expected to be okay. Police say Mullins and the driver of the car were headed home from Toyota, where the two worked. The sheriff's office says they believe speed played a factor in the crash.
Rowan County's judge executive says the Kentucky legislature could be headed to court in the not-so-distant future. Dr. Walter Blevins, who spent 3 decades as a member of both the State House and Senate, believes lawmakers could be sued by the superintendents of the Commonwealth's public school system again, just as they were around 1990 before the adoption of the Kentucky Education Reform Act.
Several from throughout the state, but mainly in eastern Kentucky, that said they weren't getting properly funded. They took that to the court. The court said that the General Assembly had to do it. They had to go and fund our education levels at equal levels, and they raised the biggest tax increase. I was there at that time and voted for it because it was the right thing to do, because if you don't fund education, you're going to pay for it down in the long run.
Those who believe that the state legislature should better fund public education say spending that additional money will help people get better jobs, stay off drugs, and lower the crime rate.
The city of Greenup has a new police chief. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
The Russell City Council swore in James Ned Crisp as a new chief of police on Monday. The Ashland Daily Independent reports that he will replace former chief Tim Wilson, who retired in July. Crisp began his work for the city in 1994, where he eventually joined and became the director of FADE, the Five Co-Area Drug Enforcement Task Force, in 2007. FADE was formed more than 30 years ago and operates as a multi-jurisdictional task force targeting drug crimes across Greenup and Carter counties. Russell's new chief says his experience as an undercover officer and director will help better work with the community and local civic leaders. Chris believes that the Russell Police Department was managed well by former Chief Wilson and will not need any real significant changes. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Members of multiple Kentucky cabinets will be celebrating addiction recovery in the Capitol's Rotunda on Thursday. In a press release, officials say the recovery rally will celebrate people who recover from drug and alcohol addiction. They also say they will spend a portion of the rally educating on what causes addiction and how to take control if you are addicted. According to the press release, multiple former addicts will be speaking and sharing their personal recovery stories. The rally is scheduled for Thursday from 1:30 to 3 p.m. in the Capitol Rotunda.
As Kentucky continues to face an opioid crisis, experts are pushing for community-generated solutions. Approximately 350 policymakers and health advocates sold out the 15th annual Howard L. Boss Memorial Health Policy Forum Monday in Lexington. Van Ingram is the executive director for the Kentucky Policy of Drug Control Policy. He acknowledges state and federal dollars alone won't do the job.
Frankfort will not solve your drug problem here in Hopkinsville or here in name the town. As a matter of fact, Washington won't solve Kentucky's drug problem. Do we need them in the mix? Absolutely.
According to the state's Office of Drug Control Policy, more than 1,400 Kentuckians died of the drug overdose last year, with introduction of the synthetic opioid fentanyl into the heroin supply driving up the death toll. Ingram says over the next few weeks, his office will channel about $3 million in government grants into community-level efforts.
A man who spent 10 years behind bars in Arizona, three of which he spent on death row, brought his story to Kentucky this week. In 2002, Ray Crone became the 100th person in America to be exonerated from death row since capital punishment was reinstated in 1976. Crone says the system is flawed, and that's why Kentucky needs to make life without parole the maximum sentence.
I supported the death penalty. I thought it worked. I thought it was fair and just, but my experience has showed definitely not. To stay strong and to continue to fight a system that just overwhelms you with their power and the money, you're very fortunate to ever have the opportunity to prove your innocence.
6 years ago, an American Bar Association report found Kentucky's death penalty system was so broken there should be a moratorium until it could be repaired. Crone is co-founder of the Witness to Innocence Project, a movement led by death row survivors who advocate for abolition. Crone spoke in Pikeville on Tuesday and will speak in Grayson tomorrow evening.
Shots are already being fired in Kentucky's Democratic 6th Congressional District primary. Candidate Reggie Thomas kicked off his first web ad of the campaign with a direct-to-camera video listing his priorities and taking a shot at challenger Amy McGrath.
There's a lot here you can't see from an airplane. I went to school here. My church is here. I worked all my life here. My wife and I raised our family here. I've even been a state senator and coached Little League Baseball right here.
McGrath, a fighter pilot, is a native of Kenton County and spent the past 20 years out of state to follow her military career. Thomas's ad also gives a comprehensive list of what he supports, Medicare for all. He also lists what he is against, including President Trump and Governor Matt Bevin.
We'll have more of your local news after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky and located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Regional Medical Center, and Cave Run Lake, the city of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. Office is located at 314 Bridge Street and by phone at 784-8505 or online at moorhead-ky.gov.
The Rowan County School District earned a prestigious safety award. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson has more.
The Rowan County Transportation Department received the Gold Fleet Safety Award from Liberty Mutual Insurance. The award honored the safety record for the district's transportation department for the 2016-2017 school year. According to the Moorhead News, Compliance Coordinator Guy Griffin and Assistant Superintendent John Maxey accepted the award last Tuesday during the Round County Board of Education meeting. To earn the award, it is required that the department have specific safety program elements in place and also show measured improvement in vehicle crash frequency. The district's loss ratio dropped from 76% to 1%. A loss ratio is the ratio of the claims paid by an insurer to the premiums earned. The Gold Fleet Safety Award is given out every year. For WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
The city of Moorhead is getting a state grant for some recreational needs. According to Mayor Jim Tom Trent, the Kentucky Department of Local Government is giving the city $75,000 from its Land Water Conservation Fund. That money will be used to help offset the cost of its new dog park, along with the resurfacing of the basketball courts and the purchase of a piece of playground equipment at the Don Greenhill Park.
We were very fortunate to be able to go in and apply with other folks across the state, and they accepted our proposal and saw that it was going to affect a lot of people and add to the livability and all the things we're trying to do with our park. So we're excited about that. That means that ultimately, when everything's paid, we'll have $75,000 that we can, you know, use on something else.
Trent says the city has already spent $150,000 on the dog park. The basketball courts and the new playground equipment should be installed this winter. The mayor notes the piece of equipment the city is replacing has a price tag of $87,000.
Olive Hill will be getting a new duplex housing project. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Olive Hill Times, the project would expand affordable housing opportunities in the community thanks to $105,000 in civic development block funding. City Council took action last Tuesday to adopt a resolution that accepts the grant and to authorize Mayor Jerry Callahan to sign documentation related to the project. The agreement stipulates that if the housing authority were to be dissolved in the future, control of the property would revert to the city. The project also includes an anti-displacement plan to guarantee that no one will lose their home or otherwise be displaced as a result of the project. For WMKY News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Tonight, a slight chance of rain before midnight, partly cloudy with a low around 57. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 73. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 52. Friday, sunny with a high near 71. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 50. Taking a look at the current temperatures in our area, it is 90 degrees in Ashland, 88 degrees here in Moorhead and in Flemingsburg, 87 degrees in Lexington, Inez, and Winchester.
On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with Our Diverse Appalachian Community. In this, the second of three segments, Denise Jasior describes aspects of her life during 15 years spent in a refugee camp and personal tragedies that struck along the way before she was granted asylum in the United States.
While you were in the camp, one of your children...
Jireli, he's just 3 years and a half. When he walks, you can feel his step in the ground. Boo, boo, boo. One day, Jireli went to school, and he was beaten by a child. We took him to hospital, and he had a fever. And when we come back, a police came and tell us we need to move from the camp. And I explained to them my condition. I was pregnant. It's hard for me to move. But they didn't give me chance because of my husband. He was leader of a refugee in camp, really educated. And he wrote a book called The Dramatic Situation in Togo Refugee in Ghana.
And this caused real trouble. The authorities made life difficult for him and for you.
Yes.
Did they throw him out of the camp?
Sure.
And you out of the camp as well?
Yes. Because of him, they don't want to see me in camp, and I suffer. They kick me out with violence and threw all my belongings outside. Jireli called his dad's name 3 times, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. When that happened, he can't talk no more. So I have to leave all my belongings outside. Some loving refugee follow me to the hospital. They give him a transfusion, and after that, he just died in my face. Yeah, he died. We have a visitor from America, missionary, Jessie Bradley. She was with me in my sorrow, followed me everywhere, cleaned my tear. She helped me. She told me, Denise, even though you are black, you are my sister. She went and talked to camp manager. And the camp manager told her, I myself, I'm not happy how they are treating her, but their voice is coming from the government. If I neglect the assignment they ask for me, I will lose my job. She gave a car manager a money, and they gave me a place to live in the village, a Sanzule. It's near to the Atlantic Ocean. And then one day, somebody came and told us, they call you in Accra for processing for your departure. We was happy, so we went.
You and Uncle and your boys?
Yes.
All together?
Yes.
You went to Accra?
We went to Accra. And
which is the capital of Ghana.
And when we went to Accra, we live outside on the street. Following day, they called my husband to interview him. And when he came back, he couldn't talk to me. They took him to hospital. He can't talk. He just shaking his hand. And my situation, I have malaria because we was bitten by mosquito. And one day, he passed away.
Through all these traumas, you block things out.
Yes.
Because that's the way to survive.
Yes. The refugee border in Accra helped me go back to the camp. He died 1st August 2005. I was in camp from 2005 to 2008. And by God's grace, I have a reward to come to America.
So you and your four boys, you got on a plane in Accra?
Yes.
And you came to America as refugees?
Yes.
It's 4:46 and 88 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Logan Pemberton, and we are so glad to have you join us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
MSBR's fall fundraiser and membership drive is coming October 16th through the 20th. It's your chance to support Moorhead State Public Radio's variety of news, music, and entertainment. We're also having an open house on Friday, October 20th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. WMKY alumni visiting Moorhead State University for homecoming weekend are invited to our studios at 132 Breckenridge Hall. We look forward to seeing and hearing from you October 16th through the 20th.
Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The University of Louisville is looking for a new athletic director and head coach for its men's basketball team. After a report from the FBI yesterday tied U of L to illegally paying players to attend the school, University Interim President Greg Postal held a press conference today to discuss Rick Pitino and Tom Jurich's future with the school.
Effective immediately, Coach Pitino has been placed on an unpaid administrative leave. We will continue throughout this process to follow university personnel policies. Effective immediately, Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics Tom Jurich has been placed on a paid administrative leave. The leave will continue until the Board of Trustees has an opportunity to evaluate his continued employment at or before its regularly scheduled meeting on October 18th.
As part of his contract, Pitino must be given a 10-day notice before he can officially be fired, while Jurich must be given a 30-day notice. However, multiple reports say that both will be let go at the end of their leaves. With preseason practices starting this weekend, Louisville will have to work quickly to find a replacement for Pitino. Interim President Greg Postal said in today's press conference the school hopes to name an interim head coach and athletic director within the next 48 hours. According to ESPN, former Indiana head coach Tom Crean could be the leading candidate for that coaching position. As for now, former Kentucky player and current U of L assistant David Padgett is in charge of day-to-day operations for the Cards basketball team, according to Scout.com. With the announcement today, Louisville is losing a lot of its top recruits. Afarene Simmons, the 12th-ranked player in the 2018 class, decommitted from the Cards earlier, which was followed by Courtney Ramsey, the 9th-ranked guard in the 2018 class, doing the same. After arresting an Adidas executive yesterday as part of the probe into college basketball recruiting, the FBI has now turned its attention to Nike. According to reports, the feds subpoenaed employees of Nike's EYBL grassroots division, along with several documents earlier today. Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Reds will try to break their 7-game losing streak tonight as they meet the Brewers again in Milwaukee. Even though his team is 66-91 with 5 games to go this season, manager Brian Price says the Reds will not lay down.
Still focusing on trying to win, playing a lot of close games, but we're not able to play well enough right now to win the one-run game. I think we have our 7 losses. 3 of them have been one-run games, and there's, you know, always something in that, in those situations where you can do something that'll make a difference to win the game, and we got to find that ingredient.
5-9 Homer Bailey pitches for the Reds tonight. The Brewers, who are still just a game and a half behind Colorado for the NL's second wildcard spot, will go with 2-2 Brandon Woodruff. Some scores from around Major League Baseball for this afternoon. The Astros lead the Rangers 11-2 currently in the 7th inning. Colorado is up on Miami 6-3 in the 4th. Seattle and Oakland are locked at 2 in the 4th inning as well. And San Francisco leads Arizona 3-0 in the 3rd. The Morehead State football team will try to build on last weekend's big win over Dayton in their PFL opener when the Eagles visit Campbell on Saturday for conference action. Junior wide receiver Christian Robinson, who caught 3 touchdown passes in the victory over UD, says MSU knows it will have its hands full with Campbell's 2-2 Camels.
Very aggressive team, and an opponent that we lost to last year. We didn't fare well last year, so you know we're gonna come back ready to go this week. You know, prepare well and try to get it up.
Campbell won its PFL opener last weekend at Stetson, 49-21. Louisville is getting ready to face FCS member Murray State this Saturday at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Coach Bobby Petrino would like to see the Cardinals' defense play as well as it did during UofL's 42-3 rout last weekend of Kent State.
They were very physical. They ran full speed to the ball. They did a good job on assignments. You know, that offense always challenges you to do your assignments, and they did a good job with that. And they prepared and put it all in, you know, 4 days of practice, which was good to see. Then something we spent any time working on, that style of offense. So they learned quick.
17th-ranked Louisville is 3-1 this season. The Round County football team will attempt to end its 5-game slide Friday night when the Vikings play host to Greenup County in a district contest. Coach Kelly Ford says the lack of success has been difficult for his young Vikings, but adds they're still giving each and every opponent their best shot.
They're hanging in there. I mean, they're staying tight. I mean, the brother love is still there, and the kids keep fighting, and you know, and the family love is basically what we're playing off of, and the energy of the game.
While the Vikings are 1-5 this year, Greenup is 4-2 and will be returning to action after last week's 43-7 demolition of East Carter. Finally, in sports, the Round County boys soccer team will look to stay hot tonight at 7:30 when it hosts Mason County. Coach Max Hammons' Vikings will be going in search of their 6th straight victory.
Things that are going right as far as never playing good. You know, we're looking to play with each other, meaning, you know, we're finding each other in open space. We're communicating better. You know, we're finishing our chances up top. And, you know, the defense is being strong. You know, we've got a really strong defense this year.
Round is 11-4 this fall, while Mason County has a record of 4-6-2. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball will host Jacksonville State at 7 p.m. on Friday and Tennessee Tech at 2 p.m. on Saturday. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed higher after the release of the GOP's tax plan framework and as investors eyed higher interest rates. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 56.39 to finish at 22,340.71. The S&P 500 was up 10.2 at 2507.04, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 73.1 at 6453.26. Financial stocks were particular winners today as they climbed 1.3%, and information technology stocks also rose more than 1%, and these were the two best performers in the S&P 500. And your weakest performers were utilities, real estate investment trusts, consumer staples, and other interest-sensitive stock groups definitely underperformed today because of the higher interest rates. And the House Freedom Caucus, which is a group of conservative GOP lawmakers, did endorse the Trump tax reform plan outlined today. The plan includes softer tax treatment for American companies to bring back profits that they have held abroad, a process known as repatriation that is boosting shares of companies like Apple and Microsoft. The GOP framework on tax reform would also reduce the corporate tax rate to 20%, as many expected. It proposes to create just three individual tax rates and would double the standard deduction. And U.S. Treasury yields rose, with the U.S. two-year yield hitting a high of 1.48%, which is its highest level since November 4, 2008. The 10-year yield hit a level of 2.31%, its highest since August 1st. Nike reported its slowest quarterly sales growth in nearly 7 years and forecasted a drop in revenue from North America, and the athletic wear company did report a 9% increase in Greater China sales. However, the stock tanked today as it dropped almost 2%. In economic news, durable goods orders showed a 1.7% increase in August. Non-defense capital goods orders, excluding aircraft, rose almost 1% versus the 0.3% increase expected by economists. Also, pending home sales fell 2.6% in August. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.3% at $52.04 a barrel. Gold was down 1.3% at $1,284.60 an ounce. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 index was up 0.4%. In Asia, markets were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.3% and the Hang Seng index in Hong Kong up 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Technologies and Goldman Sachs. The worst performers were GE and Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Micron Technology and Applied Materials, and the worst performers were Scana and Delphi Automotive. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 40 cents at 65.41, CSX up a quarter at 53.83, AEP down 89 cents at 70.30, AK Steel up 5 cents at 5.38, Marathon Petroleum down 13 cents at 55 and a quarter, and U.S. Bancorp is up 54 cents to finish at 54.14. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
I have put together several programs where women are the stars, and I want you to know that I really like to encourage equal opportunities. So this week, the theme of the stories you will hear on A Time for Tales is men. Please join me, Carolyn Franzini, your host for A Time for Tales, a program of stories, this Sunday at 3 here on Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking another look at the weather for this weekend. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 73. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 52. Friday night, sunny with a high near 71. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 50. Saturday, sunny with a high near 68. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 48. Sunday, sunny with a high near 72. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 51.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Morehead State University Blue and Gold Championship of Marching Bands will be held at MSU's Jane Stadium this Saturday. The event will begin at 4:45 p.m. and features 13 high school bands from Kentucky and Ohio. The event is open to the public. Admission is $10 for adults and $5 for children. For Paws for Ability and Morehead State University's Service Dog Program will visit Coffee Tree Books in Morehead from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, September 30th. Early readers can practice their skills and the service dogs can practice listening. This event is free and open to the public. The Claypool Young Art Gallery at Morehead State University presents the 2017 annual MSU Art and Design Faculty Exhibition through October 11th. The gallery is open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is free and also open to the public. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Cody Robinson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Jacob Lindberg, Kinsey Thompson, and Braxton Howard. Kentucky News Network's Susan Duvall chipped in, and so did WUKY's Josh James. Our feature segment today came from Morehead's own Adrian Swain. You'll hear more from neighbors next Wednesday. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.